Okay, we're taping. Today is December 20th. It's our last day together. It's been nice. The definition of Mishle we have on our first page of the Choveret from the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, he suggests that there are a number of different purposes to the word as it appears in Tanakh. We start with a drash that the word Moshel means to rule over. The Vilna Gaon shows in the Pasuk in Mishle that Moshel actually means to rule over involuntarily. But that may fit our Musar. In other words, sometimes you have to rule over something like against the grain. You know what I'm saying? In other words, your will is to take that woman that you know you shouldn't. But you're a Moshel on yourself. You really want that. Right? Woe betide you if you're used to getting everything you want. Because then you don't know how to say no. Okay? There are all kinds of things that rule over people. That they tell you what to do. Your job tells you what to do. Your addiction to drugs tells you what to do. Your addiction to gambling tells you what to do. You have no choice. But you think. What did we say earlier in the semester is the most, I know personally, this is really a tough one. The most significant battle that the human being has to do every day. You're going to get up. I fought the Yetzer Hara all morning about staying in bed, and finally I beat the Yetzer Hara at 1 p.m. I beat him. Food. You have to eat every day. No one's going to get drunk on water. You've got to drink also, and you're not going to get drunk on air. You need that too. But food, there's so many disorders of food that people don't even recognize. That's why the word for lechem is the same word for battle.
Okay, but this is why I would say,
taught a class in Kashrut a few semesters ago. We made a, it's sort of an informal quest of the entire four books of Shulchan Aruch. Something like 17-18% of the chapters in Shulchan Aruch have some willy-nilly connection to eating. Really, Shabbos is once a week. They say when you teach Bali Tshuva, the first thing you should teach them is Kashrut. Kashrut is 7 days a week. You know, get right on board on Shabbos too right away, but Kashrut, bracha, the whole point, what's the point of a bracha? Is to, not just to say, is this God's or is it mine? Before I make a bracha, it's God's. After I make a bracha, it's mine. Good, it's Gemara and Brachas that says that. And of course, I have to make sure of many things before I eat this food. Is it tithed? Is it kosher? Am I fleishix? Right? What's the hashgacha? Was this prepared on Shabbos or Yontif? In a way that's not halachically proper. Right? Is it mine? Right? Is it meat from an animal that was shechted on the same day? Although that doesn't passel the food. But some poskim would say, just, you know, not to reward someone for doing it. But be it as it may, you get the point. Was it salted? Is it part of the? Is it too close to the Gid Anoshe? Is it too close to the Chelev? Was the blood drained? I mean, for goodness gracious, before you have a hamburger, you've got to ask 472 questions, right? Until you get ingrained in you. Okay, so the battle, the daily battles that we fight, if you get up to the Madrega where it's so ingrained in you. Yeah, I want more than anything to be intimate with my wife, but not tonight. Now she's in a state of Tara. Let everybody say that. And the younger you are, the harder that is. Right? So someone who can control that urge with someone that you're permitted to, that person's never going to take a woman he's not permitted to. Right? It's the person who has that incredible urge and is used to satisfying that urge from his earliest days. He's indulged. Right? That person needed an injection of Mishle. He's not in control. I'm in control of my job. Because I'm going to tell my boss, no matter what, I ain't going to work on Saturday. So that means I'm in control. there may be some times where my job tells me, you know, you've got to work a little later on Erev Yom Kippur than you wanted to. You've got to hear the Megillah later at night. You got to come home and light the menorah a little later than you need. But all right, personally, I take care of all those things. I mean, I'm in a good profession for that. But I acknowledge that the first week after the clock change, when everybody is in shul, shul's packed at 4:45 on Friday. And I say, what a beautiful religion. What a beautiful practitioners of Yiddishkeit we are. I know that 70-80% of you had a significant Mesiris Nefesh to be here at 4:45 on a Friday. Right? It's going to get earlier for another 2 or 3 months. Right? That's nothing that we shouldn't mock that. We shouldn't think that that's a small thing. Right? So the point is that I'm in control of my job. I'm in control of as many things as possible. I may, you know, personally, you know, in front of someone you love or maybe a therapist, you can tell some things that you feel you're not in control of, and they'll help you get in control. That's what Mishle is. It's the very first book that we have on this level. We have a few hundred Egyptian proverbs, but there's nothing on the level of this sefer, because it's been studied nonstop and darshaned. There's nothing comparable to our Talmud darshaning so many psukim from Mishle, like anything else that's been continuously studied since it's been written. Right? Full disclosure, as I told you in the beginning of the semester, the rabbis once, at one point, in Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, felt that Mishle does not belong in the canon of Tanakh. And we discussed what's the difference between feeling that it is canonical and it isn't. It's the same book. I have it in front of me. What difference does it make? Right? I assure you the Rokeach would not have commented on Mishle ben Sira to the extent that he comments on this. Right? Okay. So, remember the story in Maseches Tainis where Rav Yochanan was very impressed by this little child. He's below 5 years old and he knows all the psukim in the Torah. But he said, I didn't get up to Malachi to know what you're trying to teach me now about whether you can test God or not when it comes to giving tzedakah. So the Rebbe said, okay, all right, I accept that. I'm going to give you a pasuk in Tanakh, in Nach, and you tell me where that's manifest in the Torah. So he gives him a pasuk in Mishle. And the pasuk is, I'll paraphrase it, man makes his own troubles, and when they come home to roost, he blames it on God. Right? Where is that in the Torah? The kid got it right away. I think there are 4 or 5 places in the Torah where you can say that, but is it Adam and Chava? Is it Cain and Hevel? Is it Bilam? Is it... No, the kid got it right away. But it's like when Naomi comes home, but the kid didn't get to roost. The kid knows only Torah. So Rav Yochanan says, all right, you're big shot, you didn't know Malachi? Okay, I'll give you the pasuk in Ksuvim that you say you don't know. Tell me where that is in the Torah. So he says, when the brothers were with Yosef, before he revealed himself, they said, why is God doing this to us? You made this problem, it's because of you that he's here. They don't know that, of course, but... Right? I'd like to compare it to Naomi, who leaves Israel in the time of famine, very wealthy, very influential, with 2 boys. How long did they expect to stay out the famine? They stayed 10 years. Who else could those boys marry but Moabites? Okay, we know that, Hashkocha Pratis, one of them has to marry a Moabite who's going to come back with a mother-in-law and be the great-grandmother of the king of Israel, for goodness sakes. What a story, right? When she comes back with 1 girl, no husband, no sons, right? And the people look at her and say, they seem to be talking with what's called Schadenfreude, which means taking joy at someone else's pain and trouble. So you say, Hazos Naomi? That's Naomi? She looks 40 years older than when she left. And then she says what I think this pasuk in Mishle is talking about. She says, I left this place full, and God made me come back empty. Ani Malaya Yatsasi. I left this place full, and God made me come back empty. This pasuk in Mishle is telling us that Naomi has it exactly opposite. God made you leave this place full. You made yourself come back empty. Now, I'm being harsh on Naomi. What choice does he have? She have. Her husband wants to leave. The kids are coming. She's going to say, over my dead body, I'm not leaving Israel. And they invoke a mission at the end of Ksuvas. Right? What is she going to say? She went with her husband. Okay, he paid quite a price. A price that, of course, she shares. Right? A husband dying is a pain to not just himself, of course, but to someone he leaves behind. All right? Get the point? Okay, so Mishlei is this amazing self-help sefer that makes you ruler over yourself. Now, please make my day by telling me which perek in Mishlei makes this exact point. It has to be the last perek. It evaluates the whole perek, which we're doing now, evaluating the course. It evaluates the whole perek. You know, I'm finishing now my 36th year of teaching in this classroom. I've always taught, no, it's just in this corner room. It's my room, I love it. They said you should go to Gluck, teach it. No, I love this room. So 36 years, I often run into students who are, when I started teaching, I mean, crazy, some of my students are older than I am. It was a crazy thing. A teacher left at the end of the semester, and like a few days before the new semester started, I get this call. I said, can you teach this course? Because I'm enrolled in this course. I wasn't, but I could have been. So I was a senior in YU, and they asked me to teach this course right here in this class, and I've never stopped. So I was 21. So I taught, it was Yirmiyahu. It was a great experience. So So I sometimes run into students, and I wonder what do they remember? What are you going to remember 30 years from now when I bump into you? I'm going to be quite long in the tooth then, but I'm going to bump into some of you in 30 years. Are you going to even remember what this course was? Oh yeah, I took Schwartz and about. I don't really remember what the class was. The Chamesh Megillos was it? Right? What are they going to remember? I mean, I teach in grade school and in 8th grade, and I teach 11th grade also in another school. I wonder, every day you've got to go in there and say, what are these kids going to remember from today's lesson? And it may be nothing, and maybe it's no, they'll remember this so that they'll know what to do when they get into 9th grade. They'll remember that. And it's a long, you know, think yourself, what do you remember from 6th grade? What do you remember from 4th grade? Ponce de Leon? I mean, what do you remember from them? What are they teaching you? Right? Remember anything from trigonometry? Are you gonna apply calculus to your life? I took calculus in high school, in 11th grade. I don't think I've applied it in the last 40 years. What trigonometry? Algebra we apply. Geometry sometimes we apply. You know, the other stuff, not so much. But okay, I gave it a try. So when it comes to Mishlei, even if you don't remember the name of the course, it's that you say, listen, you know, decisions are going to be made later. Hopefully one that'll, you know, and people that if they made the right decision, they would have stayed out of jail, you know. But who knows what people are thinking. I wasn't thinking. Something else was thinking for me. And again, I tell you what, I struggle with food. In the morning, I don't get it. Till 12 o'clock, I know I'm doing something wrong. I drink a lot in the morning. I'm not hungry till noon. But at night, I'm, it's like it's crazy. I've become a wolf man. Right? So what I've started to do is I drink a lot of tea, but then I have to go to the bathroom two or three times during the night. And I eat ginger. Candied ginger. I'm trying to help myself here. Right? I'm not like obese or anything, but I care about, you know, being healthy and things. So Mishlei is all about being Moshe'el, being in charge. So chapter 31, this man named Lemuel, remember him, right? So he's talking to his mother, and she tells him that you are a ruler of a vast kingdom. Chazal say, of course, it's Bat Sheva talking to Shlomo, but it's our mothers who know us best talking to us about being in charge. Why our mother more than anyone else? The same reason why the shofar is supposed to sound like a mother crying. Right? That's the Abayi Veim Sisrit, the end of Rosh Hashanah. Right? So the and that's why all of the liturgies, the Torahs and Haftorah readings of Rosh Hashanah, all of them, Rachel's crying for us, Chana's crying for us, and Sarah's crying for us, and Hagar's crying for Yishmael. Everyone's crying, and mothers. If you want more on this, look at the Haftorah Sefer Chazon HaMikra by Yisachar Yaakovson on his treatment of the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. He discusses this beautifully of motherhood and Tanakh. It's really amazing. So he doesn't deal with Mishlei Lamed Aleph, but I'm connecting it. So the mother tells this king, you're in charge of a vast kingdom, and if you only direct it to be really in charge of yourself, because kings, Nebuch, look at Sefer Melachim. The real student of Sefer Mishlei has to at least be aware of the pathologies of Sefer Melachim, of kings that he wants this vineyard. I want it. I'm a king. I should have it. But he's weak. He doesn't know how to get it. So his wife gets it for him by having the owner killed. Right? The king is not can't just be lo tignov, lo tirtzach. He's lo tachmod, lo tignov, lo tirtzach, and all in that same story. But you know what? You see a woman bathing. Maybe she shouldn't have been bathing there, right? But and you find out that she's married. Halo zos bat sheva bas eliyam. It's time to move away. Yitzhara is at that point just a halach. Remember we talked about this. The Yitzhara starts off as a halach, then it moves to a reach, becomes a guest, then it becomes an ish, right? Yitzhara always, you know, I didn't mean to see this. You're right. It was allowed to walk on this patio, right? He sees it from the Gog, and the Yitzhara is easy to push away when it just passes by. Do you know what I just said about Halech, Oreach, Ish? Remember where that's from? In the parable that the prophet tells David about two men in his kingdom, there's a rich man and a poor man. The rich man is David, the poor man is Uriah. The rich man has thousands of sheep, the poor man is just this one sheep that he adores and cherishes and loves very much. Right? The rich man has a Halech that knocks at his door. This is all one pasuk. Perkut Beis, pasuk Dalet, Shmuel Beis. A halech knocks on his door and he invites him in, and he doesn't want to use one of his thousands of sheep in order to feed the man. Instead, to feed the guest, the oreach. Instead, he takes the one lone sheep of the poor man to give to the ish haba'i love. It's the Yetzihara. The Yetzihara starts off as a halech. It moves to oreach status. And then if you let it stick around and you don't just push it away, right? So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to push away that crazy hunger that happens to me at night by sucking on this ginger, which is an appetite suppressant. They give you pills. I don't want to take any of those things. The pills they take is just to suppress your appetite. Green tea works. But sometimes you say, no, I see it there. I see the ginger. I see the green tea. I don't want it. I want the food. Right? And the more you start eating, the more it gets crazy. So don't have it in the house. Right? You need a plan. Okay, the plan for some people is I can't get up in the morning. The plan for some people is alright, if you're extremely wealthy and you have an 8 o'clock minion, maybe it's okay to get it. You can't get up in the morning, right? You can get up, I'm not talking about 7:30, I'm talking about I can't get up till 11:30. Alright, you need a plan. Alright, sometimes you need some help. So this Lemuel's mother is here to help him. She mentions only two things. She mentions women, sexual addiction, and she mentions substance. She says wine, but the substance can be anything, right? So we'll see. We'll see what kind of unexpected consequences there are from our governor now that he's been elected to another term for making sure that we can all have our easy access to regulated marijuana. Really, only the adults. Really, adults aren't going to get. Kids aren't going to get at it. Right, but you can say the same about alcohol. But okay, but we'll see. We'll see what's happening in Colorado. We'll see what the statistics are. Those who are in favor are going to hide the statistics of the spike, mamish spike already in vehicular deaths. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Am I going to be more chilled? I don't know. Right? You're not, my neighborhood is Marijuana City. You can smell on the way home from shul. You can't go 10 feet without pervading through the air. This is where we are. All right, so we'll see. If it just stays with marijuana, that's one thing. But Mishlei Hilamad Aleph is telling us that you get more and more and more. It takes more and more to give you what you want from it, and then it's a gateway to other things, bad things. I remember in New York in the 80s where there were crack files by the hundreds on every block. The hundreds. I fear we're going to go back there. Hopefully we'll be in Israel by then. All right, so that's it. It's a slippery slope. When you're not in control and not in charge. Right? What time is it now? 42. What? 42. 42, okay. So she tells him about substance abuse in women. She could have told him about gambling, but I don't know, a person as wealthy as her son probably doesn't, you know, if he gambles, big deal, but all right, someone who's, I don't know, but those are that and 100 other, you know, very pressing things that she could have mentioned that keep us from being in charge of ourselves, right? Right. Now, when Bilam prophesies, he says, "Well, he saw Mishalo." He picks up his Mishalo. Now, usually, it's translated his burden. It's a burden when you want to be in charge. You have to be responsible. You can't just give in to everything. A king wants to keep everybody happy, or a politician, for that matter, wants to keep everybody happy. Right? That's what they do when you talk to them. They care about only one thing, the next election. Really. Right? So that's where we are. But so it's a burden, right? So but at its core, of course, Mishlei is a parable. After rule, it's a burden, and it's what's the point of the parable? Just say it. Parable sometimes, because it's, and I do this every, I've given now 30 years, 50 weeks a year approximately. I'm not always there every Shabbos of the year, but over 1,000 since I'm there, parables on Friday night just as davening is over. Okay? So the people come, you know, it's gotten to the point. I know people say, what was the rabbi's Musa moment tonight? You know, so, but, do we have to say Musa moment? They just have a 1 minute statement about self-help. No, but that's just one saying does so much. Right? We can always solve real problems. It's the imaginary problems that we can never solve. Right? Just things like that. The best things in life aren't things. I have some just favorites that always, you know, I can always put, you know. Sometimes I have it on the card and I can't find the card. I got to go up there and just wing it, you know. So you have to, you know, you can't repeat too much because there are always people in there who remember everything you said for 20 years. But those are the three things, basically. It's a burden. It's to rule over, right? And it's a parable where, you know, something there's emshol l'chom mashol, you know, where Shimshon says the parable to the men to get in for the test to see who wins the contest, right? What I just told you about the rich man and the poor man, that's a parable. To rule over, so that the when you say the rich man is David, the poor man, that's the parable. Right? The one thing that people often overlook is who's the guest, who's that heilech that becomes an oreich, that becomes an ish. Right? That's the thing that Mishlei wants you to control. Right? If you're used to submitting to it. It owns you. Right? We all have a Yetzer Hara, and we should, and Hashem put it in us. And the Gemara in Bracha says we have to serve Hashem with that Yetzer Hara too. Okay. There's an amazing Gemara that says that some time at the, during Bais Sheni, there was a prayer vigil to kill the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah was killed. And then the Gemara says to all the unintended consequences of that. Right? Of course, it's a parrot. It doesn't, I don't think it really means. There are some Yetziraras that, you know, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah we've helped to kill. Right? I don't mean for every human being on earth. There's still plenty of good over the Avodah Zarah in the world. But the percentage of people who are over the Avodah Zarah today is much less than the time of Avraham because of Avraham and his descendants. Right? So, but there's some other Yetziraras that continue. There, the Yetziraras we help, we create. You know, I see sometimes in the presence of someone who sees such a Yetzirah for that little device there. And every kid, every eighth grader I see, I don't even, you know, I'm in a pretty wealthy neighborhood, but you see some kids who are going to a public school. Every 9-year-old has one of these amazingly powerful devices that has more at their fingertips than the most expensive computer, a $1 million computer in 1965. You know, amazing power at their fingertips, and it owns them. It owns so many of them. You can have a family where the parents try to teach the importance of Shabbos. The kids cannot stay off that for 24 hours. Right? When I see a very frum person who just rushes after Abdullah to get a cigarette, I say, you know, it's amazing. You were able to stay off from smoking for 24 hours. Right? So, but you're not in control. It says, Baruch HaGeber Asher Yivtach B'Hashem, Arur HaGeber Asher Yivtach B'Adam. You know what that second pasuk is? Two pasukim after the first one. You say for Yirmiyahu. You know the first one because it's a nice pasuk that we say at the end of Benjamin.
I was just curious, do you think kids using their phones and Shabbos, do you think that's more that they can control themselves or that their parents didn't explain to them well enough what Shabbos is and how important it is?
I think some of them are just out of control. My kids all had, you know, cell phones at a certain time when they were young. And I agree there has to be some kind of foundation. Right? I have an amazing consideration of, my mother has a younger sister who has 13 children. And I'm just giving an average of the numbers. She has something like 150 grandchildren and something like 400 great-grandchildren. And she keeps track of them. And she just told me, she's in her 80s now. She says she doesn't, I mean, I don't want to exaggerate the numbers. Let's say, the last number, I don't know how many great-grandchildren, but I know the number of grandchildren because each one of these 13 kids has 10, 12 themselves. And those kids are now, somewhat older. The oldest is my age, oldest of all these of the children. So she says she to her knowledge, not one is off the derech, not a one. They're all joyfully, and her husband was a Baal Tshuva. He's passed away. There's a revel in Woodburn all year round, and then they moved to Monroe, and then they moved to Lakewood.
I think that could even just prove more that it was instilled in all of them.
It has to be instilled, of course. You instill. I'll tell you this, and please take this for yourselves. I mean, your parents, you'll be parents. Nothing works better to get a kid off the derech than hypocrisy. Whatever you expect of them, don't ever let them see that you're not doing yourself. And I see hypocrisy all the time. Oh my goodness, that's so amazing. What do you expect your kids to come out with? Now, that's an orthodoxy. I mean, hypocrisy in the Reform and conservative movement is very often where the parents do everything, and there's no, but their assimilation stops at intermarriage. But now the Reform and Conservative don't even care about that. They have 70% intermarriage rates. And the new thing about the Reform and Conservative movement is the parents don't even care anymore. You have to embrace. It's outreach. We're outreaching to our new son-in-laws. We're going to take him home to a Hanukkah dinner or a Seder. That's where the Jewish future is. But if you want to keep your kids in line, everyone has a different expectation. I'm not telling you what to expect of them. But don't ever expect something of them where you're not, either secretly or openly not willing to do yourself. And I count on that hypocrisy where you send your kids to, let's say, a Ramaz or something, and at the school they have a certain expectation of what you're doing, and they never see any of that outside the school. Never. None of it. So, look, I guess we should rejoice over the fact that a family that doesn't keep kosher still wants to send their kids to a yeshiva. Right? All right, but there are different levels of this. Lots of different levels. And I don't know if... Is Ramaz a safety net for, where they would send to another place where they're getting no Yiddishkeit at all? Right? That's a question. Right? But hypocrisy is a death blow. Look, there are lots of places where the family does nothing. They send their kids to they allow their kids to go to a yeshiva in Israel, and he gets turned on. I mean, that happens all the time, of course. But I'm just saying, all things equal. Play your percentages. Right? Let them see the truth. Let them see that you're in control. Let them see that you don't give in to these urges and these newfangled whatever it is. And the Torah will last. It needs you. Okay. All right. Okay, guys. That's a wrap. Okay. Do you know what?